Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. And it says in verse 1, "Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servant, the prophets." I want to call your attention back to verse 3, where Amos, a great prophet, a man who goes to Israel with a message of judgment, says unto the nation of Israel, "Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Now, in the context of this thing, Amos is getting ready to pronounce judgment once again on the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel is a nation that is now worshiping and serving other gods. And Amos is pointing out, how can the nation of Israel walk with God when the nation of Israel is serving other gods? Can two walk together except they be agreed? And we're going to talk about that just briefly, but then I want to get it down to the practical level for you and I. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Our Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd bless the preaching of the Word of God. I'm thankful, Lord, for just the opportunity to be able to preach your Word. And Lord, I'm asking that you would forgive me of my sin and wash me and cleanse me in your blood. And Father, cleanse my mind and cleanse my heart. Help me to be a vessel that is fit for your use. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, that I might speak the words that are needed here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would put your power upon them. I pray that the Word of God would go forth with your anointing. Lord, I just don't want to get up here and make a sound and fire a shot and no bullet come out. Lord, I pray that I wouldn't just stand as a blank where the sound can be heard and the fire can be seen coming out of the barrel, but nothing gets hit because there's no bullet there. Father, I pray that the Word would go forth from me and lodge in the hearts of these that are here tonight. And for anyone that might pick up these tapes, Lord, and listen to them, Father, I pray that you would pierce their heart with the truth of the Word of God. And Father, cause us to be people that have a desire to walk with you and to be close to you and to do the things that you would have for us to do in this life. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Can two walk together except they be agreed? In Northern England, at one time, it was customary when two people were courting each other, they would say of those two people, so-and-so are walking out together. They're walking out together. That was a statement that was made, and that meant that they were courting each other, and their friendship was getting pretty involved, and they were walking out together. When I think about can two walk together except they be agreed, I think about walking with the Lord God, and I think about the scriptures that talk about how God walked with man. You know, in the Garden of Eden, God showed up and he walked in the garden, and the voice of the Lord walked in the garden and looked for Adam after he had sinned. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not. Enoch was a man that learned how to walk with God. And he walked with God and walked with God and walked with God until finally he wasn't. I mean, God just took him on. God just said, "Okay, Enoch, you've been walking with me for a long time. Now I'm just going to walk you right on to my house." Enoch says, "That suits me just fine." But you know something? In order for Enoch to walk with God, he had to agree with God. Enoch didn't have his own agenda. Enoch didn't say, "Lord, I sure enjoy walking with you, but you know the wife needs me right now and I need to get back to her. I enjoy walking with you, Lord, but you know, I got some friends waiting for me down on the corner, and I need to get back with them. And Lord, I really enjoy these walks that we're having together, but you know, I've got to get busy, and I've got a lot of work to do, and so I'm going to have to cut it short today. Enoch wasn't that kind of a man. The Bible says Enoch walked with God, and one day God just said to him, okay, Enoch, come on. You've walked with me for many years, so just let's go. And God took Enoch out of this world. He's the only man that was ever born of a woman that lived on this earth, walked with God, disappeared, and never went through the portals of death. Enoch's not going to come back in the tribulation like Elijah's going to come back in the tribulation. He didn't die either, but he's going to come back and die. And, Moses died, but he's going to come back again in the tribulation period, and he's going to die again. But Enoch's a man that, he's a type of the believer of this age, a man who can walk with God and then be taken out and translated and raptured out without going through death. I believe that the rapture's at hand. I believe the Lord's getting ready to come. I believe that the bride of Christ is getting ready to sprout wings and fly away. I believe that, brother, the graves of those that have died in Christ are going to open soon one day, and they're going to come up, and then we that are alive and remain are going to be gathered up together with them in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. And brother, when that trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel sounds off, you and I, eternity begins for us. We'll never have another problem. We'll never have another worry. We'll never have another debt. We'll never have anything that we'll ever cry about, moan about, groan about. Everything's going to be perfect from that day on. And I believe that it's nigh at hand. It's not far away. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. If you're going to walk with God, you have to agree with God. God cannot walk with a nation when that nation has fellowship with other gods. And I believe Amos was pointing that out to the nation of Israel. Look back in Amos chapter 2 and verse 8. Let me go back a little bit in verse 6. It says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes, that pan after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father will go in under the same maid to profane my holy name, and they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar, and they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. I mean, Amos is pointing out the fact that Israel no longer is worshiping God, and no longer is the God of Israel, the Lord God that had brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage, into that promised land. They had forsaken God. And Amos is pointing out, how can this nation walk with God if they agree with other gods? If a nation has turned away from God and set other gods up, they do not have the right to say, God bless this nation. I mean, we have become an abominable nation in the sight of God. How can we say and pray, God bless our nation? How can the President of the United States get up and say, God bless America, when America kicked God out 50 years ago, and the Word of God plays no part in America today, and praying to God is not something that's done outside of just the customary tradition as far as the nation is concerned? How can we expect God to bless a nation when the nation has set up other gods and turned to idols and worshiped other gods? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can God bless this nation and walk with this nation and prosper this nation when this nation has turned into the amoral, immoral group of people that it's turned into? I say not. I say not. And that's what was happening in Amos's day. Not only can not God walk with a nation when the nation has fellowship with other gods, but God cannot walk with a child of the devil. Jesus made this very clear and very plain in John chapter 8 and verse 44. In John chapter 8 and 44, that religious bunch that was always coming around trying to entangle him in his talk comes to him and says in verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Hear of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Brother, Jesus could not walk with that bunch because they didn't agree with him. They said, you're born of fornication. We've come from Abraham. We have one father. God is our father. And he said, if God was your father, you would understand what I'm telling you, because I've come from God. You know something? They could not walk with Jesus Christ because they did not agree with him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Nope. Can't do it. And the Lord God cannot walk with a child of the devil. And for a man to be lost, he might be religious, he might be good morally, but he cannot walk with God. Sister Teresa could not walk with God. You say, you drawing judgment on her? All the good works that she did, all the poor that she took care of, I'm sure that that will be acknowledged at the white throne of judgment. But let me tell you something, for that woman to be involved in that religious system and think that by her good works and helping the poor of India, that somehow she was going to make it into heaven. Brother, that's not the way God says you make it. He says you make it by coming to Jesus Christ, his son, by faith. And if she never did that, all the good works and her dedicated life to the poor is going to avail nothing in the sight of eternity. And I say unto you, can two walk together except they be agreed? She had to come to the place where she agreed with God and accepted Jesus Christ, where she died and went to hell. God cannot walk with a Christian. Walks after the flesh. Take your Bible and go to Romans 8. Now, I've said a lot about this in prayer meeting and in Sunday school this morning, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But in Romans chapter 8, look at that thing there. In Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know something? If a man says, well, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, and God's given me eternal life because I believed in Jesus Christ, but I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to live for myself and live for the world and do the things I want to do and walk in the flesh and not walk in the Spirit. You know something? That person's just fooling themselves if they think they're walking with God. They're not walking with God. God won't walk with a Christian that's walking after the flesh. Now, that Christian can pray, and that Christian can confess his sins and repent of his sins and get right with God, but don't think that God's out there walking with you if you're walking after the flesh. You can come to a Bible-believing church. You can hear the truth being preached every week. You can have all the knowledge crammed down into your head that the preacher can put into you. But if you go out of here and you're just going to live like a heathen and live like the devil and walk after the flesh, then don't think for a second that God is walking with you. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer to that, of course, is no. No. Can a saved person and a lost person build a home together? No. They can't do it. You know why? Because they'll never agree. They'll never agree. And can two Christians walk together if they don't agree on the Word of God? I mean, the big push on today is to get all the religions joining together. Let's not divide. Let's not be critical of somebody else's belief, somebody else's religion. And after all, there's some real good Christian people that read the NIV and they get a blessing out of it. Well, maybe they do, but I can't walk with them. You know why? Because I don't agree with them. I don't agree with them. There's some fine Christian people that are probably doing some good works for the Lord that I cannot walk with because there's certain things we don't agree on. We don't agree on doctrine. We don't agree on the book. There's certain things we don't agree on. I can't walk with them. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. And God can't walk with a person that does not agree with Him. If a man's going to walk with God, he's got to agree with God. The first thing he has to do is he has to agree with God on the place to meet. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to meet Him. And there's only one place to meet Him, and that's at the cross. That's the meeting place for everyone. Before any man can walk with God, he first has to come to the cross. He first has to meet the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. We sang this song this morning, and I thought about this as we were singing it. And on page 351, we have an old hymn called Near the Cross. It says, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Brother, I'll tell you what. When I got saved because I realized that there was a Savior, one that cared for me and loved me and died for me and shed His blood for me. And brother, I saw Jesus hanging on the cross. I didn't have to go to a movie to see it take place. I saw it through the Scriptures, and brother, Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. You know, you never want to get too far away from the cross. That second verse says, near the cross lay trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. Brother, let me tell you something. Every man has to meet God at the cross. And if a person doesn't agree on that, he's not going to walk with God, because two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And God says, if I'm going to walk with you, the first thing that has to happen is we're going to have to meet. And I picked out the place, and you're going to have to meet me at the cross. When you go to the cross, do you see who's dying on the cross? It's the precious Son of God. When you go to the cross, do you see how He's dying? He's dying in agony, and He's dying in shame. The Creator of the world being abused at the hands of man. The Creator of heaven and earth hanging naked on a cross. He's dying in agony. He's dying and breathing in pain. And the eternal blood that was flowing through Emmanuel's veins is pouring out of His body. And He's dying. Do you see who's dying? Do you see how He's dying? Do you see why He's dying? He's dying as a sacrifice. He's dying for your sin. He's dying for my sin. He's dying for the sin of the world. He's laying down His life. He's no man's taken His life. He's volunteering. He's laying it down. He says, I'm going to be a sacrifice for them. I'm going to lay down my life. I've lived the life that they can't live. I've been perfect. I've been sinless. I've kept the law. I fulfilled the law. I fulfilled the prophets in every point. I've done everything that the Father sent me in to do. Now I'm going to die for them. I'm going to lay down my life and be a substitute and a sacrifice for sinful man. Do you see who he's dying for? Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, it says this in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Brother, I'll tell you what, they didn't show you that in the movie The Crucifixion. He laid down his life and he said, I have the power to lay it down and no man takes it, my life from me. And people running around and saying the Jews killed him. People running around saying the Romans killed him. And somebody else saying, well, we all killed him. He laid down his life. He became a sacrifice for our sin. He willingly went to that cross, laid down on the cross, said, drive those nails through my hands, pierce my feet, lift me up, have me suffer. I lay my life down. I remember that old song that George Beverly Shea used to sing. He could have called 10,000 angels. Well, brother, I'll tell you what, he wouldn't have had to call 10,000 angels. He could have pulled the spikes out of the cross and walked down off of that. And brother, I'll tell you what, if a man's going to walk with God, the first thing he's going to have to do is come to the cross. Because God meets man at the cross. Do you see why he's dying? Do you see who he's dying for? He's dying for you, for me, for every man, for every woman, for every young person. Have you ever really seen the scene at the cross? I mean, is that something that you can close your eyes and you can look at that cross outside of Jerusalem, standing on that hill with two other crosses there? And there around that cross, you see a mob of people. Some of them are hostile. Some of them are mocking. Some of them are shooting out their lips. Some of them are looking at Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one that said, I lay down my life for my sheep, and no man takes it from him. And they said, he saved others, but he can't save himself. If you are the Son of God, come down off that cross. There's soldiers down there at the foot of the cross, and they're casting lots. They're gambling for the garment that Jesus had on. And there are a group of believers and people that loved him that are standing huddled over on the side, and they're crying as they hear the words coming out of the mouth of Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. Those seven sayings that come forth from the lips of Jesus as he hangs on the cross, and with each word that is uttered, those believers are clenched together, and it's just piercing them right down to their heart and soul. And then somewhere in that scene, there's another man probably standing off on the side someplace. His name is Barabbas, and he's looking, and he's watching. And he's seeing what's going on there at the cross. Because you see, Barabbas should have been on that cross. They were going to execute three people. Jesus was not to be one of the three, but he became one of the three. There were two malefactors crucified with him. They let Barabbas go. Barabbas, maybe he, I don't know. Sometimes my mind just runs a little wild. Maybe he was in cahoots with the other two that were hanging there. And somewhere in the crowd, there's a criminal. There's somebody looking up there that knows in his heart he ought to be up there on that cross, and he should have been the third man up there on that cross. But it's an innocent man, a man in whom they found no fault whatsoever. a man that never did anything wicked, never did anything but good, loved people, helped people, fed people, healed people, took care of people, and he's hanging up there. And I'm sure Barabbas was lurking in the shadows someplace, looking and watching and seeing what was going on. And those criminals hanging with Jesus said, "Why don't you save us? Why don't you save us?" Finally, one of them said, "He's not like us. We're here because of what we've done. This man's done nothing wrong. He's done nothing amiss. He's not like us." Then that man looked over and said, "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." God says, "You want to walk with me? That's where I'll meet you. I'll meet you at the cross." Can two walk together except they be agreed? I don't care what religion says. There's only one way to heaven. And that way is going to be through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if a man never comes to the cross, he'll never walk with God. The second thing that I want you to notice, if a man is going to walk with God, he must agree on the pace. God sets the pace. You know, sometimes we don't like waiting. I mean, we're just built, you know, we know that we have so many years, and as the years go on, and we see our times closing in on us. You know, if I live to be my 70, I've only got 8 years left. That's a horrible thought. Well, it's a wonderful thought, really. But, you know, if you're wanting to do something for the Lord, you think, I've only got 8 more years at the most. And if I go past that, you know, I'm probably going to be going downhill rapidly. And I'm not going to be able to do the things that I once did and do them in the way that I once did them. And so we tend to hurry. We tend to rush. We tend to not wait on God. We tend to set the pace ourselves. Rather than walk with God, we run ahead. And we say, I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to run out there and I'm going to do this for God. And you know something? Sometimes our heart is right about it, but God wants to set the pace. He wants to set the pace. There's been a lot of people that ran way out there ahead of God and so far and so hard that God had to shut them down and say, okay, now come on back here and sit down here and listen to me for a while, because I want you to go, but I want to go with you and I want to walk with you, and we're going to have to agree on this. I'm setting the pace, not you. And so man has to sit down and say, okay, God, I'm waiting on you. And there, here's another guy. He's sitting there waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord, and the Lord's kicked him 1,000 times, saying, come on, get up. It's time for you to go. It's time for you to walk. And the man's sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. God says, come on, you're lagging behind. You're supposed to be keeping pace with me, but you're dragging and you're lagging behind. And how are two going to walk together if they don't keep pace? Have you ever tried to walk with someone when you were little kids? You know, you'd all hold hands and you try to get in step and you try to walk along in step, and somebody would get out of step, you know, and your feet would get tangled up and maybe somebody would trip. And you finally learned the art of walking together with someone. And it meant taking the same size step at the same time with the right foot, if you're going to keep in pace. When I went into the Marine Corps, they taught us how to drill. The first day that we were there, the drill instructor, after we had received our clothing and gotten our heads shaved and we had our utilities on and hats pulled way down, the drill instructor dished out a couple insulting comments about how we looked. And he said, okay, attention. But he didn't say attention. He said, 10, And we did our best to, you know. He said, oh, you're the sorriest bunch that I've ever seen. I can tell right now you're not going to make it. And he said, right face. And when he said right face, man, some of us turned right, some of us turned left, some of us turned all the way around. And he got so disgusted, he cussed a couple times, and he said, just point that way. So we all got lined up, and he says, okay, forward, march. And some started out on the left foot, which you're supposed to start out on, but some started out on the right foot, and man, I'll tell you what, we were clod hopping. You know, we called it clod hopping when we were kids. When you step on somebody's heel, you clod hop them. I don't know where that saying came from, but some of us were clod hopping each other, man. We were just, and he said, this is horrible. This is awful. He said, stop. He said, you can't even march. He said, get down on your bellies because you're going to crawl over there. And here we are with a sea bag on our back. It's the month of June in Parris Island, and there's a blacktop parade field, and we're on our bellies crawling across that blacktop, dragging the sea bags on our shoulders because we didn't know how to walk together. We didn't know how to keep step. And they taught us how. They taught us how to stand at attention. They taught us how to do a right face. They taught us how to do a forward march and step out on the left foot. They taught us how to take a 32-inch step and keep in step. And you know what they always did? They always put the tall guys in the front and the short guys in the back. And when you were on a forced march, it seemed like the guys in the back were always trying, you know, running to just keep up because the big guys are taking those big steps. But when you're drilling, when you're out on the drill field and you're as a unit drilling, you all take the same size step. And today, you look at the heels of my shoes, every pair of shoes I get, I wear the heels down on. You know why? Because I dig them in. And I'm still walking just like that, just like they had me doing when I was 18 years old. But you know what they taught me to do? They taught me how to walk and march with a unit. And that's what a Christian needs to learn, how to walk with God and keep pace and keep step with Him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Do you agree on the pace? The Lord sets the pace. Sometimes we just have to say, God, I can't keep the pace. Take my hand and help me along because I just can't keep the pace any longer. There used to be an old song that we sang, and it went a little bit like this. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm weak. And it went on. I can't remember the words to it. But you know what that is? That's the child of God that wants to walk with God and wants to keep pace, but now he can't do it. And so he's calling out to God, take my hand and lead me, Lord, lead me. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The third thing I want you to notice is if we're going to walk together, we must agree on the goal. We must agree on what is going to be the goal of our life. You can't walk with God if you don't agree to His goal. You know why God's left you here? One reason, the most important reason why God has left you here. You say, to raise my family. No, that's not why. And that's not why. The most important reason why that God has left you here and didn't kill you right after you got saved and took you on home is because, number one, He wants you to bring glory to Him. He wants your life to glorify Him. Whether it's working at the plant, whether it's going out with a group of friends, regardless of what it is, God wants you and your life to bring honor and glory to Him. Does someone want to be around you just because you remind them of God? Barney Eaw was a friend of mine, and he was a medic in the Vietnam War. And Barney used to tell many times of bringing men that were medevaced into the field hospital. And those men were screaming and they were dying. And Barney, as they would take him out of the helicopters and rush him back for surgery, would scream in their ears, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." They thought he was crazy. They thought he was crazy. He would do that when they would bring wounded men that were screaming and hollering and dying. And they said that Barney Eyal had such a calming effect on those men that some of them testified to the fact that it was like God talking to them. Barney Eyal got backslidden one time. He had been away from home for a long time. I think he served 2 terms over in Vietnam. He decided one night to go into a bar, and he was sitting there with a prostitute. And Barney Eyal had other things on his mind that time. And he was talking to this prostitute, wanting to go with her to her home. And she said, "I can't do that with you." And he said, "Why not?" And she said, "I don't know. But there's something about you that reminds me of God." Even when he was trying to do something that was wrong. Here was a man that said, "I want God to get glory out of my life," and witnessed to dying men as they were being brought into a field hospital. And when he tried to get away from God, a woman that didn't even know God said, "There's something about you that reminds me of God." And he said, "Man, it was like a knife going through his heart." And he said he just got up and he walked out of that bar and didn't do what he had intended to do. You know what God wants out of you? He wants you to glorify him. He wants glory out of your life, out of my life. If it means passing out tracts on the street or just holding a sign up, you know how that brings glory to God? When a sign's being held up with a verse of Scripture and somebody comes by and they see a person standing there with a smile on their face and a verse of Scripture, and that verse of Scripture says, "The Lord trieth the hearts." And then that person looks at that sign and looks at you, and then they drive on and they remember that. And there's something about that that glorifies God. There's something about that when a person will publicly stand up, stick their neck way out, and just testify for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something that glorifies God in that. And that's what God wants. God's left you here to glorify him. Do you agree on the goal? Do you agree on the goal to glorify God? And then he's left you here to do the will of God, to do his will. He has something for you to do. Man, I wish everyone had been told what I was told when I was a child, that the Bible is the Word of God and you can believe every word of it. And my father said, God has something for you to do that no one else can do. And I always remembered that. I didn't believe it, but I remembered it. I've thought about that 1,000 times in the last 37 years. God has something for you that only you can do. God has a plan for you and a will for you, and you're the only one that can do it. Do you agree on the goal? And then last of all, for a person to walk with God, they must agree on the cost. It's going to cost you. There will be suffering. It'll cost you. In this world of wickedness today, it's going to cost you to walk with God. Paul said, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to cost you to walk with God. There's going to be some things that you suffer just because you're a child of God. There's going to be some suffering that you go through because God is going to try you and let you go through the fire so that you'll be even better after the trial. There's going to be some suffering that you're going to go through because you're doing the right thing and other people don't like it because you're doing what's right. If you want to find and see the book that talks about a Christian suffering, it's 1 Peter. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read a couple of verses here and I'll be closed. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Some of the things that you are going to go through is just going to be to try your faith. But you've got to agree on that. See? If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to say, God, if that's what you want for me, then I agree with you on that. I want to walk with you. And so I'm going to agree on the cost. When people lined up and they said, we want to follow you, Lord, we want to be your disciple, he says, you better consider the cost. And they said, well, what's the cost? And he said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Come on. You want to go? They say, what's the cost? He says, take up your cross daily and follow me. There's going to be a cross involved in the cost. Are you willing to bear a cross? Are you willing to suffer? Suffer trials. Suffer for doing right. Look in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Peter 2:19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. You ready for that? You ready to be doing something good and doing something good and doing something right and have people talk about you and have people cut you down and have people call you names and have people mock you and have people undermine you and have people defame your character and have people lie about you and drag mud out and try to make you look like a dirt ball? Are you ready for that? Because that's what it's going to cost. And you've got to agree on the cost if you're going to walk with God. Are you ready to suffer for Jesus Christ? Look in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Verse 16, yet if a man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. So you go out on the street, and people cuss at you, and people scream at you, and people say, shut up, and get out of here, and turn that thing off, and you just keep on preaching. You know why? Because that's part of the cost. And if you want to walk with God, you have to agree on the cost. It was easy for Job to walk out on his porch when God's blessings were all over his life, and to look at his lands, and to look at his cattle, and to look down at his children's house, and to go make sacrifice for them, lest they had sinned against God. It was easy for Job to do that when God had a hedge around him, protecting him, taking care of him, showering blessings down on him. But what happened when the day came when the hedge went down And the devil took his shot at Job and took the cattle and took the sheep and took the asses and took the children and left him without his help. Then what? That's okay, God. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's okay, God. I've counted the cost. I just want to walk with you. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You have to agree on the cost. And it'll cost you if you're going to walk with God. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the words of Amos and thankful for the scriptures that tell us that we're going to have to agree with you if we're going to walk with you. And Lord, I want to agree with you. And Father, for the times that I've run ahead or lagged behind, Lord, I want to wait on you. And Lord, for the cost, I want to be able to say with an honest heart that whatever your will is for my life, that's what I want. And Lord, if I suffer for doing right, then Father, that's okay with me if I can walk with you. Lord, I pray for these people here tonight. God, I pray that in their heart they want to walk with you. And Lord, help us to be willing and help us to be agreeable. Because, Lord, you've said that we can't walk with you if we don't agree with you. And we just want to agree with you tonight. Father, I pray that you'd just speak to our hearts. Deal with us, Lord. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.